You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Couples, today we are going to address a character trait, a desire to do something that's productive when you've been hurt by your spouse, when you've been disappointed, when expectations haven't been missed. Today we're going to talk about the important ingredient, forgiveness. Now, a lot of couples, a lot of people misunderstand what forgiveness is about and how that impacts your relationship, especially with your spouse who maybe has betrayed your trust or time and time again misses the expectations that you have. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what forgiveness is, what it isn't, and then we're going to give a couple of scenarios of how forgiveness could look in your marriage, and then we're going to end with when you need to be the one asking for forgiveness, because a lot of this topic today is how do you give the gift of forgiveness, but there are times in marriage, none of us are perfect, where we need to be the one asking for forgiveness, so we'll end with that. But to start today, I think a lot of people think forgiveness is this passive letting people off the hook, right? That if I forgive you, that means what you did, how you hurt me doesn't matter. You're free and clear. And other people think it's like this magic eraser, like you just totally forget that anything ever happened. And neither of those things are true. Forgiveness isn't a one-dimensional response. You're dealing with emotions. You're dealing with betrayal. So it's not just a switch that you just flip and are like, oh, okay, no problem. What you did, how you hurt me is no big deal. No, what we're going to learn is that forgiveness is an active and ongoing thing. You know, Jesus talks about this idea when Peter says, how many times should we forgive someone? His answer was 70 times seven, right? And really what that means is it's like an infinite number. And I think it's important. Someone said this to me many years ago that's been helpful, because for some of you, there's been a major breach of trust in your relationship. Maybe there was infidelity. Maybe your spouse stole money or turned out to be a fraudster or something. And so there's like some deep wounds there that your ability to forgive isn't just a one and done experience. There are some things that happen, you know, maybe if there's domestic violence in your relationship, that it's going to be an everyday thing that you choose to forgive. It's an ongoing everyday, maybe every minute that things replay in your mind that you still have to forgive. So that's the idea here. And couples, what I really want you to understand is that if you don't have forgiveness as something that's in your heart, it isn't part of your character, then relationship and marriage is going to be really hard for you. I mean, a question to really ask yourself is, are you a person that holds grudges? Would people say of you, oh, you crossed that person, like you're done for. There's no coming back from that. That might be an indication that this is something that you really need to listen to today. Because what we're going to realize is what God models for us, how he forgives us of our egregious acts against a holy God, needs to be the attitude that we bring into our marriage and in any other relationship that we have. That forgiveness needs to be a part of the calculus. That being a grudge holder, holding on to things, never letting go of things, if that is you, then you know that your relationship is suffering. You know that any relationship you have suffers if you don't have the ability to forgive. So I really encourage you to take that as a challenge, especially those of you that maybe forgiveness is hard. Maybe you never saw it modeled in your home growing up. Maybe your spouse has been pretty unforgiving. So I hope that you can hear this with an open mind and an open heart, because we need to be forgiving people, or else our marriages are going to suffer because we're bringing two people together that are imperfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do stupid things. We're going to miss expectations. So we have to be able to have a response that allows for growth and healing and coming together. That's what forgiveness does. Okay, so let's first talk about what is forgiveness. What are the qualities that we're talking about when we talk about forgiveness? So the first thing is, it's a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. It is you deciding to not keep replaying that offense over and over and over in your mind and reminding your spouse of how they failed you. You know, using it as ammunition for the next time they fail you. Which leads into the next quality, that it's a gift, right? You have to make a choice to say, you hurt me, you disappointed me, but in order for us to take any step in a positive direction, I need to offer you the gift of forgiveness. I need to give space for you to start building something new with me, right? So it's a choice, it's a gift, it's proactive. So like I started, forgiveness is not a passive response. It's not a magic eraser. It's not letting someone off the hook. It's you deciding, I'm not going to let this hurt that you caused to be something that controls me to the point that I just hold it over your head and we can never move past it. Okay, so that's why I mentioned earlier, forgiveness is also active and ongoing, right? When Jesus said 70 times seven, that's what he means. Like, we need to have a posture of knowing I will be forgiving my spouse over how many years you guys are married, endless times, because it's a character trait. It's a way of being that you say, I'm going to be a person that chooses forgiveness, because otherwise, we're going to talk about this in a minute, what unforgiveness does to us wrecks lives, breaks relationships, and gets us nowhere good. So it's a choice, it's a gift, it's active and ongoing. And the last one I think is really important, especially for people in marriages where you have a spouse that maybe messes up a lot. Forgiveness means you give up your right to vengeance. I think for a lot of people, we kind of feed on our right to be angry and mean-spirited and to want to get back at them, because that somehow we think satisfies our need for justice, right? But the reality is, when we're talking about your spouse, your vengeance, your need to take that out on them or punish them over and over again, surely you realize that does not give a fertile soil for any growth or healing or restoration or reconciliation to happen. So it really is that active and ongoing process that you would choose to say, I give up my right, so to speak, to hold this over your head and to be vengeful, because it doesn't bring you to any place of healing. And if the shoe were on the other foot, would you want your spouse to be vengeful toward you? Okay, so that is what we're talking about, what forgiveness is. So now let's take just a couple minutes to talk about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you forget. It isn't the magic eraser. It's not about what the other person did, like your forgiveness means you wipe that clean. But what it does say is you release the power that hurt has over you, right? That's where bitterness and resentment comes into play, is when we hang on to it, when we want to be punishing them, we want to be vengeful towards them, we want to remind them time and again of how they failed us. All that's doing is putting chains around our heart that we are immovable in our place. But what forgiveness doesn't mean is, it doesn't mean you forget that the hurt happened. It doesn't mean that you don't confront that. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but it does mean that you are releasing the power that that hurt has had over you, that you choose not to just stay in that spin cycle of being bitter and resentful, that there's a way that you can step out and say, that was hurtful, that can't ever happen again, but I'm going to give you room to do with the next piece of it, that forgiveness doesn't mean instant trust. I think this is where a lot of couples get confused. When we do pre-marriage counseling, a lot of times this comes up, and even in marriage counseling, that couples think that trust and forgiveness are one and the same thing. No, forgiveness is a proactive gift, like we talked about. It's a choice that you say, I'm going to release the power this has over me and from holding it over your head so that trust can be built. Trust is a reactive response. Trust is that you give trust as your spouse earns it, right? And so that we have topics on that in our marriage basics series. You could go check that out. But it's important to know that just because you forgive your spouse of the offense does not mean that you trust them. And they're just like, okay, we're all good. You know, if it's something like infidelity or pornography, we'll talk about that as one of our scenarios in a minute, that you're just like, okay, I forgive you. None of the hurt, none of the betrayal, none of that matters. No, it's I forgive you so that I'm giving you room to start earning my trust. I hope that makes sense. And the last piece is, forgiveness does not minimize the offense. So again, it's not about you like acting like it doesn't hurt you. No, it's choosing not to let the hurt of that action to control you and to make you vengeful and bitter and resentful. Because as it said, I don't know who came up with it, but it's a pretty good thing that the unforgiveness, the bitterness that comes with unforgiveness is like the poison pill that you take, but you're watching and waiting for your spouse to be the one to die, but you're the one that swallowed the pill. So you're the one that's drowning in bitterness and resentfulness, and that doesn't really impact your spouse. All that does is kind of bring you down further into a wormhole, and that unforgiveness means then that you're not able to start articulating, like, what are we going to do about this? Like, how do we start taking a step forward toward healing? You can't do that if you're unforgiving. So it doesn't mean you forget. It doesn't mean that you trust, and it doesn't minimize the offense. Now, this was said, I don't know where this came from, but I think this is a very insightful thought. Unforgiveness is like gasoline on a blaze, making everything hot and harsh and more destructive. Maybe you've lived that reality. Maybe you're married to somebody that is very unforgiving. And so you see how destructive it is to be constantly reminded of your failures, and you can never take a step in a positive direction. But here's the difference. Forgiveness then is the extinguisher that cools the flames and puts them out and gets the embers under control, right? Get the fire down to some embers so you can begin to rebuild. Because couples, honestly, this is what we need to think about. When we get married and as we go along in life, is your goal to create destruction and division in your marriage? Or are you looking to say, we're imperfect people, we make mistakes, and we both need to choose forgiveness. We both need to look for the best in one another when these situations happen, whether it's a missed expectation or a betrayal of some kind, that we just don't choose to just stew in bitterness and resentfulness and punishment and revenge, that we're able to say, you know what, you messed up. But in forgiveness, I'm going to give us an opportunity for you to earn my trust and to take a step forward. I hope that that makes sense to you guys. And maybe as you evaluate kind of how your relationship is, and especially in times of conflict, how things tend to go, that this is maybe ringing true of like, okay, I think forgiveness is something we both need to start working on. Because when we argue and fight, we go into silent mode for days, we bring up every past offense that's ever happened, and we're not really looking for opportunities to say, how can I be better? How can I do better the next time? Because you're not allowing forgiveness to be the extinguisher to those emotions that are very real, and hurts are very real, and betrayal is very real. But do you want to stay in that? Or do you want to say, is there a way forward for us where we can hear each other, we can take responsibility for our part, and we can get towards healing? I hope that that's your heart. Now, all of this is in the backdrop. If we want to know, like, how do you develop a heart of forgiveness? How does it become part of your character? Well, as followers of Jesus, it's important for us to recognize what God has modeled for us in this. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Paul is reminding us here to be tender, to be forgiving, because Christ forgave us. I think if it's good for us to humble ourselves and recognize that before a holy God, we have so aggrieved him more than our spouse could ever aggrieve us. And God's response, Jesus's response, is to forgive. Psalm 103 says, he doesn't punish us for all of our sins. He doesn't deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. That the heart of God is not, oh, I'm going to just keep reminding you of all the things you've done where you failed me. It's going to be like a running list that I'll just keep bringing up. No, he's not harsh with us. As far as the east is from the west, like when we come to him and confess and repent, that he forgives us and he removes that as far as the east is from the west. So couples, for us, it's to be tenderhearted and forgiving as Christ is to us. It's about God's love for us, that he's not looking to deal harshly with us and to hold things over our head. Romans 5 talks about that Christ died for us while we were still sinners, had done nothing to earn that love or that grace. That's what God has modeled for us. So if you are a follower of Jesus, then I encourage you to meditate on these verses, pray about it, especially if there's like one issue in your marriage that you just can't get past, or if you've just never really been good at forgiveness, to start praying for God to just soften your heart. Because again, like I said, if we can remember our position before God and how he deals with us and our sin and our failure, that we should be inspired then to say, okay, so if the Holy Spirit lives in me, then the traits that the Lord has of being tenderhearted, of not holding sin over our heads, then needs to be true of us. That we don't have to say to our spouse, like, no, you've got to do all these things right, and then maybe I'll extend my forgiveness. That's not how God worked with us. Remember, forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a choice, and you can make it in any situation that you're confronted with. You know, a lot of people would say, well, adultery is one of those things that you could never forgive. Like it's over and done. But I can tell you, over the years of ministry, we have seen couples that have come back from infidelity, from a terrible betrayal in the relationship. They did a lot of hard work. The offending spouse did a lot of earning trust back, but it didn't happen without the offended spouse being willing to extend the gift of forgiveness so that healing, trust earning, reconciliation could happen. The extinguisher of not letting bitterness and revenge be at the heart of it. So it is possible in any situation. It can be possible. And we need to be reminded of how God has modeled that for us, and the Holy Spirit in us can move us in that direction if we are willing to listen and if we're willing to be humble. Now, I thought it would be interesting just to take a couple of everyday scenarios that you might be thinking about. Okay, what does this look like practically? This is really great, you know, information, but how do I do this practically? What does forgiveness look like practically in a marriage? So I thought I'd come up with a couple scenarios. So the first one is your spouse just struggles. Maybe you've been married 15, 20 years. They struggle with making you a priority. They're chronically late to dinner. They forget anniversaries. They never plan the date nights. All the things that you've said, like, these are things important to me, they fail time and time again. So to the spouse that's on the receiving end of not being the priority, here's what forgiveness could look like for you. First of all, are you communicating clearly? Like, here are my expectations. I would love it if you plan a date night, that you would say, you know what, maybe put a reminder in your phone that, you know, sometime this month, you know, put a reminder in your phone that says, I'm going to get a babysitter and I'm going to plan an event, right? Offer practical help, communicate what you're hoping for, so you're not setting your spouse up for failure with a missed expectation. Be willing to express honestly, like, when they've disappointed you. Like, part of forgiveness is saying, like, listen, this is hurtful to me. Like I said, it's not like it's the magic eraser where you're saying, like, it's no big deal, you hurt me time and time again. You need to come to your spouse, but with the heart of saying, I need you to know this because I don't want to hold bitterness in my heart towards you. And the only way I can do that is to put it out there to you and share my thoughts with you, not in a mean-hearted way, but in a way of just saying, like, this is where, honestly, my hearts are. Like, I'm feeling hurt or disappointed or devalued because you continue to not do some of these things I've asked you to do, but you're giving your spouse the opportunity to get it right. Now, here's a really important thing of what forgiveness looks like in a situation like this. Maintain a posture that wants your spouse to succeed. I hear this a lot of times that, you know, it's like almost like when your spouse, like, they just fail again and again with missed expectations, that you almost want them to fail because it gives you the right to then hold that resentment, right? It gives you kind of the power dynamic of, like, gosh, I'm a way better spouse than you are. I'm a better wife or a better husband because I don't make those same mistakes. I make you a priority, but you don't, right? Can you see how if your posture is you're almost looking or wanting them to fail is not a heart of forgiveness, is not a heart that wants the best of your spouse. So I think we need to be honest about that sometimes, that even when we're hurt, doesn't give us the right, if you want to have a healthy marriage, to hold that over your spouse's head. Do you see how that unforgiveness piece can come into that? John Gottman talks about this idea of the negative and positive sentiment override. This is something else, that if you choose forgiveness, and that's a gift that you give your spouse in this scenario or any scenario, is to not let yourself go into the negative sentiment override where you're only focused on all the things your spouse is doing wrong. You're just keying in on all the missed expectations, all the ways they're irresponsible or insensitive. Because if you stay in that sentiment of a negative, focusing on the negative, then do you not see the trajectory of your relationship is not going to go to a place of positivity or health or growth? Because you're going to stay in that negative override where you're justified in feeling negative and, oh man, you're just such a loser of a spouse and you just keep doing the wrong thing or you're never doing it the right way. That is not a recipe for health or growth in a marriage. That is not a forgiving heart. So another piece of that, not only just not getting stuck in the negative sentiment override, but be reminded of the qualities that you love about your spouse. Sometimes that's really important to be reminded of. Why did I marry this person? What are the things that I love about them? You know, they may not be great at planning date nights and following through and those kinds of things. But man, maybe they're like a super great provider, or they're great with routine, or they're just a loyal person. Like, there's things about this person that you love. And maybe you need to be reminded of that. And that helps you to get into more of a forgiving heart, even though they've disappointed you. And of course, in any scenario, any time that you have marital conflict, invite other people into it. Let other people that you trust, a counselor, a mentor, a pastor, that can speak into it and maybe help you understand the other person's point of view. That you look at your spouse and you want to see them grow. You want to see them succeed. You want to see them not fail. That's how forgiveness can look in that kind of a scenario. And for a lot of us, this is where most of our conflict comes from. It's the day-to-day kind of stuff. It's not like some major breach of trust, but it's just like, man, you're late all the time. You never make it to the kids' events on time, or you never plan the date night. Those are the kinds of things that can really build up a lot of problem and walls that are built in a marriage. If you let those things like build up in your mind, and then you get bitter and resentful, and then lo and behold, you find yourselves miles apart and not doing well in your marriage. So that's how forgiveness could look in that kind of a scenario. And I really do think those two key things are looking for your spouse to succeed, not fail, and getting out of a negative sentiment override. And that's a choice you have to make. Just like forgiveness is a choice, you have to choose not to focus on just the negative. You have to choose to say, I want to see you succeed, and I'm going to help you get there. Now, the second scenario is a little bit of a heavier hitting. This goes more to the betrayal. Let's say that your spouse has gone back into a pornography relapse, and you've discovered that. And of course, that's a betrayal. Maybe that's been an ongoing problem in your marriage, or maybe it had been years ago, and then you just are coming to realize that it had come back into your spouse's life. Whatever it is, that's a betrayal. That's a hiding of behavior. It's not being truthful and open. So what would forgiveness look like in a scenario like this? Well, depending on how you came about, an initial honest confrontation might be, maybe you opened the computer, maybe you picked up their phone, and you see something on there that tells you, okay, you've been on sites that are not appropriate, or maybe you see an image of it itself. So a way that forgiveness would look in that is that you first would have an honest confrontation where you say, hey, I saw this, what's going on? Another important piece to allow forgiveness to be a part of this equation is that you get outside help, especially when it's something with an addiction. Your spouse, who's the addict, needs to definitely be in support groups or in counseling to understand that addiction, why they relapsed, and what they're going to do, like what things they need to put in place. You also would benefit from some outside help too, of just like, where do I go from here? How do I approach this issue where there's been another betrayal and I thought we were past this and now we're repeating old behaviors? Part of the forgiving heart would be that you would help your spouse by setting clear expectations, like putting filters on devices, that your spouse has accountability systems, that there's transparency, that you could pick up their phone or look at their computer at any time. Like, these would be the things where you hear, like, these kinds of things would be about the building trust piece, right? It's not like you choosing forgiveness, not holding this over your spouse's head, is to say, okay, I forgive, but boy, we got a lot of work to do on trust. So what does that look like? It looks like getting outside help. It's having clear expectations and accountability structures in place. It's making new commitments of how we're going to do this. What does it look like today? What does it look like this week? What does it look like 3 months from now? What does it look like next year? Like, having honest conversations, your ability to forgive in that scenario allows your spouse to get help, feel like there's hope, and have some things to work toward to build trust with you again. Because for those that don't allow for forgiveness there and just say, you know what, you betrayed me, we're done, we're out, okay, that is a choice that you can make. But what if God has something new that he wants to do? And so it was maybe the realization of this current struggle is something God's using to humble your spouse, for them to get right with the Lord again. And so you then refusing to forgive and you walking away from the marriage is then missing out on something God that wants to do, not only in your spouse, but also in you and in your marriage. And if you have kids involved, like, for them to see, like, okay, when we mess up, we first need to confess to the Lord, and we need to start taking productive steps toward health and healing and victory. And your ability to forgive in this situation allows for trust to start to be built. I hope that makes sense. I know that's easier said than done, but we've walked with many couples that have been confronted with the pornography issue or an extramarital affair. And there are times, certainly in the beginning, that you could convince yourself in that negative sentiment override, like, there's no hope here. They betrayed me. They've lied to me. They've hid things from me. I don't know how we can go here. But if you could choose the gift of forgiveness, if you could choose to say, okay, I'm not going to hold this over your head. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do things differently and to earn my trust. Like, God can do some really super cool things in that, but it's going to be a choice that you make to allow room for that. Now, just to end, most of what we talked about today was about your ability to forgive. But I think it's important for us to remember that sometimes we need to be the one to ask for forgiveness. We've been the one that's made the mistake. We're the one that betrayed our spouse's trust or continually miss expectations. And we need to be able to be humble. We need to be able to say, you know what? I messed up. I know I messed up, and I want to ask for your forgiveness. I need to take myself out of victim mode and justifying my behavior because of things you've done. I need to just take responsibility for my part. That's an important ingredient here. If both of you have the ability not only to extend the gift, to choose forgiveness, but also to recognize like there are times like to be free and also asking for forgiveness, man, can't you see how much the fertile soil that God can really do in a marriage when both people want to forgive and are wanting to ask for forgiveness when they know they've messed up? You know, we have a great topic. It's based on a book by, I think it's Gary Chapman, who did The Love Languages. He also did Your Apology Languages. We'll link it here for you. Really interesting that he said that people have actually like a love language. They have an apology language. Maybe your spouse is like, well, I need to hear certain words from you to know that your apology is true. So it's like, you know, you are clear about how you messed up, that you express regret, that you are asking for forgiveness. Like there are 5 apology languages that he talks about. So that would be a really interesting thing for you to do with your spouse and be like, you know what? I never thought about that I have an apology language. Like when you come and say sorry to me, I'm listening for certain things. Like I want to hear like exactly what you did wrong. For others of you, it's like, no, I need you to ask me to forgive you. That helps me to then take the step. Do that topic together and figure out what your apology language is. So when it's your turn to say, I messed up, would you forgive me? You can say it in a way that your spouse can hear it. And again, get you to a place of peace and healing and moving forward. So couples, forgiveness is a really important piece of the puzzle if you want to have a healthy marriage. And yes, there are hard things that happen. There are ways that we can hurt each other that go so deep. But I think if we can remember the heart of God towards us and our failures, that we could look at our spouse and then say, you know what? I can have compassion for you because you're broken and I'm broken. You mess up, I've messed up. And let's figure this out. Let's extend the gift. Let's make the choice to forgive. But then let's get to the practical steps of earning trust and building each other up and wanting to see the other person succeed and wanting to see the marriage grow and heal and be better. Boy, that's a better way to live. That's a more peaceful way to live. And that's the God-honoring way to live. That you fight for a healthy marriage, that you forgive when you need to forgive, you ask for forgiveness when you need to ask for forgiveness, and you work towards peace and to set the other person up for success. And that'll go a long way in your marriage. So I hope this is helpful. Couples, pray about this, especially if forgiveness is hard for you. And let God change your heart and soften you. And man, you'll see some awesome things happen in the quality of your marriage.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.